Chuck, appreciate that. And Chuck is one of the great examples of a father at Berean Baptist Church, and I appreciate him so much. I love his testimony. I love the story of his salvation, and well, of how they ended up at Berean anyway, and just one of my favorite stories when I first came here, sitting down with the Pearsons and the Bennetts, and they told me the whole story. And Chuck's family had just moved here from Oklahoma, and Donna's parents were instrumental in starting Berean Baptist Church, and they were out soul winning. And they were just out knocking on doors, and they came across the home of Chuck Pearson and his family. And they said, "We're from Berean Baptist Church," and they were interested immediately because they came from a Baptist church in Oklahoma. And so young Chuck, the teenager, started coming to Berean Baptist Church, and he met young Donna, the teenager. And, well, they got married, and all their kids are saved. I think all the grandkids are saved, and great-grandkids are going to get saved. Amen. And what a blessing, what a testimony. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. Proverbs 17 and verse 6, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Again, it was an interesting verse to me. I obviously have read it many, many times, but I hadn't really thought about it as I was thinking of Father's Day. The glory of children are their fathers. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you will help us now to look at your word and let it work in our hearts and our lives. Certainly, if there's anyone here who's not saved, we would ask most of all that they would be saved today. And then we pray for Christians all over this room, and most are Christians, are saved already. Just pray you'll challenge each of us, and especially challenge our fathers here today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Fathers, the Glory of Children. Fathers, the Glory of Children. We've all been there. I especially as a young man, I remember the little groups of children all gathered around, and we were maybe playing basketball or baseball, whatever the sport happened to be, or maybe we were playing army or something like that, and cowboys and Indians, I don't know. But eventually something was said, and one boy looked over at another and said, "Well, my dad can do this." And another one looks over and, "Well, my dad can do this." And I mean, everybody, all of a sudden now, it's going around the group, and it's like, "Well, my dad. And immediately when I read this verse, and I had to ponder on that a little bit, I thought of, that's how it always is. Very, very rarely do you, and ladies, don't take this wrong, but it's very rare for children to be gathered around and say, "Well, my mom," unless they're talking about what? Food. That's right. "My mom makes the best." But it's just such a common thing when you know a group of kids get together, and they could be even preteens, and they get bragging about their dad, and a lot of times it ends up with the dreaded, "Well, my dad can whip your dad." I used to tell David, "Your dad can't whip anybody's dad. Don't even say it. All right, just be quiet about that. Your dad can out-pray him, he can out-read the Bible, whatever, but he's not going to whip anybody, all right?" But it always ends up, what is that? It's just bragging on dad. You know, we're bragging. These kids are bragging on their dad, and it really is a glory to a child to be able to brag on their dad. It was kind of a surprise to me as I thought about it, because we always kind of uplift mothers, and we should. No reason not to. But it's interesting, and again, don't be offended, ladies. And don't say, "Well, our gift is better than your gift." Mother is used 363 times in the Bible. Wow, that's a lot. Wait a minute. Father is used 1,300 times in the, well, that's not fair because God's the Father, I know. But that doesn't mean it's that he's more important. But it does mean this, because I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble. This is a non-politically correct message, all right? By the way, most of my messages aren't politically correct, so we don't care. But according to 1 Corinthians 11, the husband is the head. Now, again, don't get all bent out of shape, and fellas, don't get your rod out, woman. You know, the husband is the head. What's that mean? That means he's the most seen. I remember when my grandfather died, and I've been thinking about a lot of this. I wrote a poem for my grandfather's funeral. In fact, I wrote two poems, and one of the poems that I wrote was it was the woman. I'm sorry, this is when my grandma died, but the thing that stuck out to me was she was the woman behind the man. You know, everybody always talked about Grandpa. Everything, it was Grandpa's farm. It was Grandpa that was the bus driver. It was Grandpa that did this, and Grandpa did. But without Grandma, Grandpa doesn't do any of those things. And that is so true. But the husband, the man, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, he's the head. That means that he is obviously the most seen. Doesn't mean he's smarter. In fact, I know a lot of women that are smarter than a lot of men. Amen. And okay, we're just not going to amen. We're all going to stay cool on this, right? Nobody's going to elbow anybody. We're going to love each other. All right. But the head is the most seen. The head is the most paid attention to. And that is certainly true. But fellas, don't get too big-headed about that, because the head is also accountable to God. And men, we are accountable to God. Now, I'll get back to that in a little bit. This is all introduction. In 1 Corinthians 11, 7, it says this about the husband, about the man, about the father. It says, he is the image and glory of God. Again, our comparison with as far as God is concerned is, well, God is called God the Father. And so as we think about that, and again, it's why the word Father is used so many times, we are the image and glory of God, according to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 7. Again, not something for you to think, wow, look at me. Not only did I get a pressure gauge, but I also am the image and glory of God. Well, you're impressed I can button that, aren't you? But wait a minute. We're accountable to God. He does say we're the head. He does identify us that way. But that means we are accountable to him. And fellas, I got news for you. You are accountable to God for your family. You say, well, I can't help it. My wife is. No, you can help it. You're supposed to be the prophet, priest, and king of your home. And there is no excuse for a man who is not in the position that God has put him, and he's doing, and he should be doing it right. But again, we're talking about fathers, the glory of children. And obviously, the right kind of a father brings glory to the child. The right kind of a father, it is something that the children will brag about, and it will bring glory to the children. Sad to say, the wrong kind of a father could bring shame to a child. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean? Well, let's take the same group of children. And let's go back to that same group and overhear somebody saying, well, my dad can do this. Well, my dad, and all around, they're all saying, but there's a couple of kids that are saying nothing. How many of you know where I'm headed? They're just silent. You know what? You may have been that child. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There was a time I was that child. While everybody was bragging on their parents, I wasn't necessarily able to, I wasn't sure what to say. But the silent child, maybe dad's in jail. The silent child. Hey, well, my dad can do this. Well, my dad, you know, he. And there's always that child that they have nothing to say. I want to give you a little acrostic this morning, spelling out the word father. And it's all about the father that brings glory to his children. The father that a child will be able to brag about. A child, and again, you know, you say, well, I fall short. Praise God. You don't have to keep falling short. Nobody has to keep falling short. We all sin. We all fail. This isn't about somebody that's perfect, because there are no perfect people in the room. But it's just some things that I thought of and wrote down that I think are a glory to children. Number one is the word faithful. Faithful. In Proverbs 20 and verse 6, the Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. When the Bible says that, and there's a question asked there, it's a question because it's such a hard thing to find people that are really faithful. faithful people. It says most men will proclaim their own, well, I can do this, I can, but God says, yes, you probably can do those things, but are you faithful? Are you a faithful man? 1 John 2, verse 13 says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And to me, the word faithful starts with the word faith. Faith. One time, one of those little groups was meeting, and a preacher overheard his son involved in one of those little groups. The guys were all playing basketball or something like that, and they all, somehow it got to, you know, my dad can do this. And sure enough, they got off on one thing and another, and one boy said, well, you know, my dad knows the mayor. And another boy said, well, that's nothing. My dad knows the governor. And another fellow said, well, you know what? My dad knows the president. And the preacher, he said, his son piped up, and he thought, uh-oh, what's he going to say? He said, my dad knows God. Now, you know, what a blessing when a child can say, my dad knows God. You know what? Again, that's not any dad can know God. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter your income. Doesn't matter if you have an income. Anybody can know God, because salvation is available to any of us. But if you're going to be a faithful man, it starts out with that word faith. Faith. And that is knowing God. It starts with faith. It starts with being saved. It starts with knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. It's interesting that when the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And you know the story. He was the jailer, and Paul and Silas and disciples had been jailed, and God sent an earthquake, and all of a sudden they're free, and the Philippian jailer realizes it's of God, and he just asks the question, what must I do to be saved? And it's interesting what was said to him. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But then it says this, and thy house. And I love that. Because most of the time, if dad gets saved, everybody else gets saved. It doesn't always happen, but most of the time, it's that example, that dad, that one that we look up to, when he gets saved, many times, the rest of the house gets saved. Everybody else gets saved. Saved dads, that brings glory to the children. A saved dad, a dad that is going to heaven, a dad that knows God. And so that starts off faithfulness, but a life of faith then is how a person becomes faithful. A life of trusting, a life of just believing God. And faith obviously cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and a dad that reads his Bible, that brings glory to a child. A dad that prays, it brings glory to a child. I mean a dad that believes in God and trusts God, and the kids know, hey, my dad will pray about this. I'm talking about when things aren't going well. I'm talking about when the economy tanks. I'm talking about when you get laid off. I'm talking about a dad that doesn't come home and say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. He comes home and says, God's going to take care of us. God's going to provide for us. God's going to meet our needs. He doesn't panic. He's solid. He's faithful. He knows that God can do it. I'm talking about a dad that's faithful to church, a dad that's faithful to serve. I'm talking about a dad who's faithful to go to his job. Boy, there's nothing that brings glory to children than a dad that is just, he's faithful on the job. You know, thank God for hard workers. Thank God for people that, you know, you don't shirk the job that God's given you. You ought to thank God for your job today. You ought to thank God. You say, well, it's not what I want. Yeah, but if it's what God's given you for now, praise God for it. There are many people who don't have a job. Thank God for what you have. Thank God that you can be faithful to a job. And we live in a day where so many are growing up and thinking, oh, well, I just won't show up. Oh, well, you know, I don't have to do it. I can get another job. I don't like it. I want to do this for this week. I want to do that for that week. Boy, I'll tell you, I my fond memories, and I know a lot of people my age in this room, you remember Dad going to work. You remember whether it snowed or not, Dad went to work. You remember when Dad was shoveling. I still remember 4 o'clock in the morning waking up and big snow, and I'm excited because I know school's going to be out, but I'd hear the shovel out in our driveway. And I would say, what in the world? And I'd look out, and Dad's out shoveling snow at 4 o'clock in the morning so he can make it into work, because that's where he was supposed to be. That meant a lot to me. Faithful. Faithful. By the way, Dad, how about being faithful to your wife? Faithful. Nothing brings glory to children more than a dad that is faithful to their mom. I believe my children would testify that it has meant so much to them over the years to know that my wife is my wife and I'm not interested in anybody else. And I'm faithful to her. I take care of her and I love her and I provide for her. And they know she can have anything. If I can provide it, she can have it. Faithful to your wife. You know, we have so much junk going on today, and the world is trying and Satan is trying to pull you away from that dear lady. Sir, be faithful. Keep your vows. Stay faithful. Love your wife like God told you to do. Love your wife. You say, well, I've been divorced and love the wife that you have today. Love her and be faithful to her. Amen. Faithful. And you know what that does? That brings glory. You see, I was a child of divorce. And when all those kids were talking, well, my parents have been married this many years. My parents have been married. I was the guy that just kind of got quiet. Now, again, I'm you know, my parents got saved later on in life and everything, and I didn't hold it again. But it just, what's glory? It's glory when my parents love each other. My parents, they're old, and they still hold hands. I remember when our kids were teenagers, we'd get all, get holding hands and putting my arm around her and kissing what's that all about? Now they know what that's all about, you know, and they know, hey, Dad loves Mom. Be faithful. Be faithful. It's glory to your children when you're faithful. Number one is faithful. That's the letter F. Number two, authoritative. Hey, if the husband's the head, he's accountable to God. He's an authority. Here's what it says about Abraham. Genesis 18 and verse 19, and I'm actually working on a message about that. But it says, for I know him. Isn't that good? God says, I know him. What do you know about him? It says that he will command his children and his household. I know him. I know he is the authority in his home. Now, just hold on. Don't get nervous. It'll be okay. All right? That's what the Bible says. The world doesn't say that. But, sir, you need to be the authority. Yeah, I know you're not going to amen because you want to have lunch. But whether you want to be the authority or not, that's where God looks at you. Huh? You amen because Amy's not in here. No, look, folks, God said, I know him. He will command his children and his household. That doesn't mean he's an idiot. There's a lot of idiots out there. Amen? You know, woman, yeah, you're going to do what I say. The Bible says, I've dealt with it for years. I've dealt with guys come in, well, tell her she has to obey me. And I always look at the man and I say, whoa, 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 wait a second. God tells you to love her, idiot. I don't typically say idiot. But a guy that loves his wife like the Bible says and treats his children like the Bible says, you know what? He can be the authority. There's no greater leader than a father like that. Here's what Joshua said. He said this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua didn't say, honey, is it all right if we serve the Lord? He didn't say to his teenager, Poindexter, is it okay if we serve the Lord? No, he was a man. We need men to be men and get a backbone and not be like a milksop. Just be a leader and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Be a man, be the man in your house. Here's what it says about a pastor and a deacon. Qualification, one that ruleth well his own house. That's not just for pastors and deacons. That's for anybody, any man. One, again, it ruleth well. What's that mean? Woman, do what I say. That's not what that means. Don't be a dummy. It's one that looks around and says, okay, here's going to be the best thing to do. Here's the best way to do this. Here's what God says we ought to do. It's for all men. And sure enough, there will be some fella in here say, well, my wife won't let me. Pity. Pity, pity, pity. It was said about Eli, who was a father, 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. It says, his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. By the way, those same two sons were killed by God, or allowed them to be killed. His sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Dad, really? You know, I get so frustrated with Dad saying, honey, you take care of the discipline. You're a dummy. I know it's a Sunday morning. I should not use words like that. So we'll say, you're ignorant. That's better. That's more appropriate. Look, be a man. Discipline, restrain. When Poindexter does something wrong, deal with it. Quit passing it off on your wife. Be a man. Well, it's quiet. It just really makes me nervous. be a man. Make decisions. You know, I'm frustrated with men that force their wife to make the decision so they can criticize the decision she made. You're weak. You have the backbone of a worm. No, of a noodle. It's not even that strong. Come on, fellas, be a man. Never would I say to my wife, you make the decision because I know it's a hard decision, and this way I can blame her if it doesn't work out. That is weak, with a capital W-E-A-K. Weak, authoritative. Here, you know, here's how it is, authoritative. As for me and my house, we will. Authoritative. I know him. He will command his children and his household. He will do it because he's a man. God said, I'll use a man like that. Authoritative. Isaac said, my father led. Jacob said, my father led. Do you understand? It's hey, we saw what our father did, now we're going to do the same thing. We need men to be authoritative. Again, that's not a dictator. That's just under God. God, help me to lead my family. Help me to be the leader of my home. Faithful, authoritative. Number three is teacher. Teacher. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. No better teacher than a father. Teach them the Bible. You know, I get frustrated with discipline. Discipline is teaching. And discipline is not slapping. Discipline is not beating. Discipline is teaching. It's teaching a lesson. That's what discipline is. And when we discipline our children, we need to make sure we teach them a lesson. I'll show them. That's not what it's like. It's okay. Teach them. And the best way to do it is, well, what's the Bible say? By the way, it's very, very hard to give directions if you don't know yourself. And that's why men need to read their Bible. That's why we need to know our Bibles. You say, well, I'm not the pastor. No, but you're the dad. You need to teach. I'm frustrated with moms having to be the one that teaches because dad refuses. And again, I'm not talking about have a 45-minute Bible study every night before bed. I'm just talking about use the Bible. Boy, it's quiet in here. I feel like we somehow became Presbyterian all of a sudden. I don't know. But it's hard to give directions if you don't know. It's kind of like watching dads try to teach their sons how to hit a baseball and they can't hit one. You ever watch that? It's hilarious. I mean, it really is. It's like, all right, son, here's what you have to do, and they're totally wrong, and you're watching. You know, or a dad try to teach his son how to golf, and they don't have a clue themselves. Well, you know, that little ball down there, and you take the club and you hold it up here and you throw the ball up and you know. or like a dad trying to, no. But you know, if we're going to be teachers, and by the way, we do teach them things. We teach them how to drive. We teach them how to work. We teach them, but the most important thing is teach them life with the Bible. Okay, here's how you live right here. The Bible says here's what you do. It's so sad. Many young men, boys are growing up, they have no idea how to treat a lady. Who should teach them? Dad. And so how do they treat their female classmates? Woman! Shut up! That's how they treat them. Well, how'd they learn that? Because they've heard dad say it for years. Do you know how foolish that is? But that's what we hear. That's what's happening. That's why all the nasty talk. Hey, you hear a sixth grader talk nasty? Understand, he learned it somewhere. And chances are real good he learned it at home. Amen. Look at real quick, Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. The Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Don't do things that's going to bring wrath upon them. Don't do things that's going to bring anger to them. Again, it doesn't mean let them have their own way. It means teach them what's right. You don't want their life to be a mess. It amazes me how so many of us, we've messed up, and then we train a whole group, a whole generation to mess up right after us. And we've been miserable in our messing up, and then we train a whole generation to mess up just like we did and say, "I love you." No, you don't. That's so foolish. You love them if you say, "Okay, here's where I messed up. Don't. And here's how you won't." And be honest about it. It breaks my heart when I see a dad who is maybe in his 40s and he's got a boy who just turned 18 or he's 19 and he says, "Here, have a beer, son. I'm so proud of you." And that dad has messed up many, many times with his alcohol, and now he's teaching his son, "This is the thing to do, son." Hello. And it's happening. Teacher. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. All right, I'm going to hurry now. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. The Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And that's pretty much day in, day out, the Word of God. Just teaching, 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 teaching. Glory to a child, when they say, "You know what, my dad taught me this from the Bible. My dad taught me this when I was very young from the Bible." And I hear things like that all the time about men in our church. Teacher, a faithful, authoritative teacher. Number four is humble. Proverbs 29, verse 23. Proverbs 29, 23. The Bible says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. See, here's the thing. Knowing God is how I know me. The more I know God, the more I know me. The more I spend time with God, the more I recognize what I am. The more I know God, the better I know me. And the more I'm around God, the more I realize without Him, I am nothing. The more I walk with God, the more I recognize that I am a man of unclean lips, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 6. Why? Because I've been with God. Fellas, the more we're with God, the more we're in God's Word, the more we're listening to preaching, the more we realize what we really are. And it's humbling. The guy that's got a big head and thinks he's something great, if he just spends some time with God, he'd find out without God, he's nothing. And And that humble father will bring glory to his children. Psalm 103 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." I'm going to tell you, the humble father isn't a dictator to his kids. He's not mean to his kids. He's not brutal to his wife. He knows what you are too. He knows that his wife is a sinner. Now all the men, yes, amen. No, he knows that his children, you know, these parents that their teenager does something wrong or the young person does, and all of a sudden, I can't believe you. What do you mean? You did it when you were a kid. But again, the more you walk with God, the more you're reminded over and over again that we were dug up out of a pit. Amen? And we know what we were. And you won't forget as you walk with God, because it's a constant reminder that I'm nothing without him. And it helps me deal with my children. It helps me deal with my family. It helps me deal with when they fail. It'll help you, too, to be humble. Because they will fail. And your children will fail. And they'll mess up. And they'll break your heart. But again, if you're humble, you'll be able to help them. And it'll bring glory to your children. Faithful, authoritative, teacher, humble. And then number five is an example. An example. Many, many passages I could turn to. Just a couple here. 1 Kings 9 and verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 4. An example. And by that I mean a good example. Amen. 1 Kings 9 and verse 4. "And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Again, if you'll be like your dad, Solomon, if you'll walk like David your father walked. Now, David, again, we know he wasn't perfect. He sinned. We all sin. But David got right with God. And he walked with God in integrity and uprightness. And he was an example. And God said, here's your example to follow, Solomon. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 32. It is also said about Asa. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 32. The idea of being a good example. "And he walked in the way of Asa his father and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord." And that's a key thing, right in the sight of the Lord. Not in the sight of men, but in the sight of God. This is right. You see, it's one thing to say, it's a totally different thing to do. And it's easy to come to church and say, well, you know, I'm just going to do right. But who knows you better than anybody? It's the people at home. And being a good example, again, it's not being perfect because we're not. It's just being a good example. It's when that imperfection shows up, we deal with it and get it right with God and we're honest about it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. Great verse here. It says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Demonstration. In other words, he said, I'm demonstrating something, and I'm doing it with my actions, my words. It is so foolish to say, well, do as I say, not as I do. How many parents have said those? I mean, my parents used to say, well, you know, do as I say. And that was usually after Friday night, and they'd gotten drunk and fought the whole night into the morning. And as kids, we would say, what are you doing? And it's like, well, do as we say, not as we do. But we're watching what you do. We should live lives to be able to say to our families, do as I do. That should be your life. Do as I do. Does that mean you don't ever sin? No, it means when I sin, I get it right with God. It means when I mess up, I get it right with everybody that's involved as best I can. Your children should be able to do as you do, and we should live so that they do as you do. Your children should be able to watch what you watch. They should be able to be on the same internet that some of you are cringing. No. I go to adult. What is that? Adult sin is different than children's sin? That's so ridiculous. I it's one of those things that I think back to, that's for adults. No, sin is not for anybody that's a Christian. Your kids ought to be able to walk up when you're on the computer. They ought to be able to walk up anytime and see whatever you're looking at. Amen. They ought to be able to walk in and see whatever you're watching. Well, no, we're adults. You're not acting like it. It's all silly. There is glory in being a good example. Amen. And then some of you are spelling this out. He's got one more point. What if I spelled fathers? I didn't. Faithful, authoritative, teacher, humble, example, and then the last thing is responsible. Responsible. Like it or not, you are. You are responsible. I mean, we have some single ladies here that are mothers, and praise God for you and thank God for you, and you have God's hand in your life in a special way, and I certainly don't sell you short at all. We've had some ladies do an excellent job with their kids without a man there. But I'm just saying, sir, you're responsible. Notice 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. It's our last reference. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. And it'd be impossible to misunderstand this. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's a responsibility. And I'm preaching about that on Wednesday nights, responsibility. And there's one right there. Notice in verse 8, second line, his third, well, that's in my Bible. My letters are about that big each. But his, third line, his, third line, he, that's his and he, male pronoun. Hey, sir, take it on, the responsibility. It is your responsibility. Take it on. Take on the responsibility. Quit trying to push it on everybody else. It's your responsibility. Quit blaming your wife. Amen. Sir, it is your responsibility. Amen. Quit blaming the government. Quit blaming the church. Be responsible. We got married, and we were on our way back from the Smoky Mountains, and I called Dad. It was before, see, some of you have in your mind, oh, he got on the cell phone. No, they didn't have cords long enough. We stopped somewhere, and I talked to Dad, and he said, oh, by the way, son, when you get back, you're laid off. What? Laid off? You got to be kidding. And well, it was my responsibility to deal with it. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I did. I delivered pizzas. You say, what happened? I got kind of fat, actually. Well, you know, in between runs, you just do what you have to do. We've all done it. I talked about this recently, in fact, talking about responsibility. I needed to work. I had to buy a car or insurance or something, and I did phone solicitation. I'll never forget it. The worst thing ever in my life was when I was selling tickets to a fraternal order of police party kind of a thing or something. I don't remember what it was. And I mean, I got called every, you know, how it is. But why would you do something like that? I mean, come on, you know, because it was my responsibility. I delivered pizzas because it's my responsibility. I didn't whine about it, didn't gripe about it, just this is my responsibility. The responsible dad fixes things as best as he can, and he just does what he can do. Boy, I appreciate so many men in this room that have done that over the years. You just, whatever hits you, you get up and you go on and you do what you're supposed to do. Instead of blaming everybody else and getting mad about this, getting mad about that, you just take care of whatever you need to do because you're responsible. And you know what the kids say? They say, look at my dad. Look what my dad did. Look how my dad took care of them. Look how my dad trusts God. Look how my dad believed God and knew God was going to take care of us. Look how my dad prayed for the money we needed to pay this bill. Those are, I'm telling you, that's going to bring glory. That's bringing the glory of children are their fathers. Faithful, authoritative, teacher, humble, example, responsible. That's the kind of father that is the glory of children that really counts the most. I'm not saying if you can hit a home run, that's wonderful. If you can hit a hole in one, that's great. I mean, if you can play tennis real well, hallelujah. If you have multiple skills, you can dunk a basketball. That's all fantastic, wonderful. Teach your kids how to do it. That's good. It also helps if they're tall to dunk a basketball. But the greatest thing in the world is when a child, my dad, he believes God and he trusts God. He knows God and he follows God. And that's who I want to follow. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.